Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to the This and That podcast with Jeff and Gretchen.
Hey.
Every time I do that announcement, I get more announcy, like Sunday, Sunday, because this is kind of fun. We're in show 67.
Woo!
Is that a woo thing? Every time I say a number, you say woo.
I guess I'm...
When is it not
I'm
woo?
I'm anticipating 75. That's big.
What are we going to do? We need to start planning, because that'll happen in, what, 2 years?
It might.
The way we go.
That's right.
Now, we should do something special for our listeners. Like, you know, maybe we'll get a live band set up here. They'll enjoy that.
That's right.
You know?
That could be you. You've got all the equipment.
It could be. It probably will be. Because really, there's no room in this studio for a live band. Oh. It's not made for a studio. But I'll give you some bongos, and I'll play the guitar, and we can just...
That'll be our 75th show performance.
That'll be exciting. Something to get up and wake the kids for. So we're on show 67. I like at the top of the show, I like to say our phone number, which is 206-333-1003. That's 206-333-1003. You know what I just thought? I should look at what 1003 actually, if it spells anything, and then use that.
There we go.
Although I hate it when people do that, because then I got
to
backwards figure it out, and it's a real pain in the butt. So, anyways, so that what's been going on? It's been a while, huh?
Hey, so do you know what today is?
Yeah, I know. Actually, I just checked. Today actually is National Juggling Day. Thank you for remembering.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Well, actually, I was going to say today is Friday the 13th.
Well, that's weird. I mean, who knows that
who
little piece of esoteric stuff?
Yeah, but I did want to tell our listeners that a new study has determined that Friday the 13th is technically not unlucky.
Oh, they've done like they've research and what's been going on in the past?
Yeah, you would find this interesting. A Dutch statistician has compiled statistics.
Ooh, statistics.
Statisticians
are there
do.
Graphs involved?
There might be.
Oh,
he
I like
he
that.
He might be graphing it. And he has found that today is actually safer than an average Friday.
Really?
So when the 13th falls on a Friday, it is actually safer than when... the other way around. Sorry.
And does he have a speculation? First of all, how does he prove that? And second of all, does he have a speculation as to why?
Well, you know, the statisticians, when they look at their statistics, he has found that there are fewer reports of fires, thefts, and accidents when he looked back over the statistics in the Netherlands for the past couple of years.
Hmm.
And when the 13th of the month falls on a Friday, then on other Fridays.
So if there's a lesson there, on Friday the 13th, get your butt over to the Netherlands?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
He says, statistically speaking, driving's a little bit safer on the 13th. He's not sure if it's because people are more careful or they just stay home. He doesn't know why. He's just reporting the facts as he has... experience them in the Netherlands. So
a lot of scientists, statisticians, they try to find these causal relationships or these correlated relationships, even though they can't quite explain
it. They can't explain
it. And the reality of it, a lot of times when you find a correlation in data, what happens is there's an invisible factor there that you don't understand. That could be it, too.
That could be it. It could have nothing to do with that. But
is this the way a nerd talks? I don't really know. Or is this the way a nerd talks?
The first one.
Hey, baby, is this the way a nerd talks, mama?
Well, sexy nerd.
Do I sound sexy out there to all of you female listeners? Because I'm covering it up pretty well.
Oh.
Well, I got some bad news.
What?
I was let go from my job.
Oh.
So I was debating about whether to tell the audience that, but I figured, maybe they can help me find a new job.
There you go.
But
you're networking.
Networking. Actually, you know, I'm in LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn network is very, very good. In fact, I've already had some friends saying, check this, check that. I think I heard about this. I heard about that. So, very, very nice.
Okay.
But it's been 2 weeks, and I'm not anxious to even start looking. I haven't even updated the old resume.
Okay, so I guess nobody's really feeling that bad for Jeff.
Right.
Who's 2 weeks into it. And
I mean, you know, maybe after a few months into it, I'll start to think, you know. But I worked for 25 years straight, mm-hmm. right? Well, 1 year I took off for grad school. Oh, yeah, that was a vacation. Yeah. So I think I might deserve a couple months in the summer off.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, the it is a little bit gloomy out there.
Yeah.
And I do have some, did you just see? So oil just hit $139 a barrel.
Yeah.
More than double the level of a year ago.
Yeah.
And in May, jobs have fallen for the fifth consecutive month. Payrolls dropped 49,000 jobs in May. And since the beginning of the year, they dropped 324,000. Now, it's really, and so the jobless rate has
especially
jumped.
Especially for you men, as we talked about on the last show.
Jobless rate has jumped from 5 to 5.5%, and some economists are saying that they expect that to go to 6 by early next year, and then to kind of ease up a little bit. I don't know why, you know.
Because they're nerds, and they analyze lots and lots of data.
Numbers, that's
right. But it's interesting to me. It's like, first of all, the reason I was laid off is because last year when I signed on, I was like the eighth project manager, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And business just didn't support it. In fact, my utilization was not that high all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did a lot of work. I really mostly did proposals and helping the sales staff when I didn't have some projects to work on. But the business couldn't support it. And it really puts into question the viability of that business. If you're not growing, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a little microcosm of the idea of a country going 5 months in a row losing jobs. It's really a little bit bizarre. What happens to the viability of this country? Do we just have and some economists are just saying, oh, it's just a little bit of false reporting here. There's some funky stuff going on in the numbers. And then, you know, that may very well be true.
Don't you remember that in our lifetime, the unemployment rate's been a lot higher than that?
Yeah. I think we've seen it
as high as 9 maybe?
I said, do we really get up to that high?
Oh, definitely 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely 7. But
even this article goes on to say, hey, there's still sectors that are hiring. This one points out government, education, and healthcare.
Right.
And frankly, what I do for a living, I'm a professional project manager, PMP, as we've talked about in the job before. The great thing about my position is I can go into government, or I can go into education, or I can go into healthcare to some extent and apply the skills that I've learned over 25 years. Okay, do I sound like I'm interviewing?
Well, just don't change to construction because as we learned last time, construction jobs are iffy right now.
I know, mm-hmm. I know.
So don't reset your job, you know, goals.
And has there been an extraordinary number of crane accidents lately?
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
We had
a big one here in Dallas.
We had the big one at the Texas Stadium. And I think a total of 3 or 4 people now have died in two or three separate accidents at Texas Stadium.
At the Stonely?
Or not Texas Stadium, the new stadium.
Right.
And Stonely, yes.
Hotel, right?
Yes.
And the two
they had a guy, he looked up and just fell right on him.
And the two big ones in New York where the one inspector was supposedly taking bribes and didn't even fill out the report.
Right.
He didn't even inspect the crane that supposedly fell over.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot. So perhaps that contributes to why this segment is downturning. It is an unsafe segment to begin with.
But do you remember? I mean, this is one of those things did it never happen before? Or was it just not reported as widely? Because it seems like cranes are falling all over the place now. What's up with that? Shouldn't laugh at those lost lives. I feel bad for them. But,
there are a lot of crane accidents lately.
Boy, mm-hmm. It's just really weird. So, yeah, it's kind of odd. So I really, you know, I should probably be worried. And I am a little bit. My sleep has been not quite as good. But I'm not so worried that I'm out there.
You're taking the summer off, Jeff. It's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll actually probably start putting my resume up and all that in the next week or so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the companies pay me a little bit of severance. So,
however, on the flip side, I know you people can't see him, but Jeff has a great tan. So
yes.
I suspect that the layoff has something to do with the tan.
Well, last Sunday, I did want to mention there's this lake in northern Fort Worth called Burgers Lake. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's kind of a joke lake. I mean, it's purely man-made. I'm guessing it does get fed real water, and it's real circulation. Otherwise, it would be an unsafe lake, right?
Mm.
But it's just fun. They've got sand beaches. It's all sand in the bottom, so it's comfortable. They've got great slides and pool. It's not very big. It's a little bit rednecky. But 5 of us went out and picnicked and played in the sun, and I loved it. I want to go back. Of course, I have all the time in the world.
That's right. We'll see Jeff there Monday through Friday next week.
Well, it's a little bit rednecky, and it's an hour away from here.
Yeah,
you know, so.
That's true.
But my pool opened up last weekend, my municipal pool, and that's a great pool. But you know what's interesting? And this must have to do with the budgets, but all the pools in the Dallas system are open from June 6th to August 11th.
Wow.
No, weird.
Short.
2 months.
That's really short.
Last year, they were open from Memorial to Labor, like you would think traditionally things are.
Well, actually, I can probably answer that. Yeah. It does have to do with Dallas. We're based in Dallas, and Dallas is facing a $50 million budget shortfall.
Yeah, which we talked a little bit about last time.
Right. And some of the proposals of what they're trying to do, rather than raise property tax, which are pretty high here, and also because we don't have a state tax, they're looking at scaling back the library. The branch hours are looking to be scaled back from 47 to 36 hours a week. Park maintenance, cable TV access, several neighborhood swimming
not
pools.
Not cable TV access. I can't live without my...
What are we going to do?
I'm kidding. Yeah. I have no idea what channel that would be.
Reducing cultural services such as cable access. I didn't realize that cable access was considered cultural services, but that would save $1.9 million out of the budget.
Oh, that should go.
Scale back park and rec youth programs, zoo and museum facilities, neighborhood pools, and maintenance. $8.3 million they're looking to cut out. So that's probably, it's probably already happening. You know, I know they haven't finalized the budget yet.
No.
But these are things that they're looking to do. And then they're going to raise sanitation and water fees. But on the flip side, they're looking to add 200 police officers and give raises to uniformed employees, make an improvement to Dallas Fire Rescue, and hire compliance officers for animal control and public maintenance. So
they're making the tough trade-offs, and it sounds like they're not making the completely wrong ones.
Right.
It sounds like they've got some good priorities there.
But for all you library fans out there, like we talked about last week when Jeff was complaining a bit about the cost of the public library to someone who doesn't use it, and then we got a call from Hawaii.
Yeah, in fact, why don't we go ahead and listen to that call right now?
Hello, my name is Ken from Honolulu. I really enjoy your show. It's a good show. And Gretchen does have a very sexy laugh. You're talking about libraries. The first recorded library to open, public library, was in Albuquerque in about 1600. Libraries are important for a lot of reasons. A couple of days ago, a friend of mine who's a reference librarian here in Hawaii, she was telling us that they were having some kind of a power outage somewhere in New York. And these guys were in a bar, and they were having an argument about the order of the planets, how they come, like Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, like that. So they knew that Hawaii was still open. The libraries in Hawaii were still open at the time when they called. So they called and got her to tell them what the order was, and one of the guys won the bar bet, so they're important, if not anything, just to win a bar bet. You were talking about renters not paying property taxes. Of course renters pay property tax. They pay mortgage, they pay insurance and maintenance, and that's what happens to the money when it goes to the property owner when they're paying their rent. He's paying his bill. They have as much of a vested interest as anybody else in libraries. And last but not least, you were talking about, and since we're talking about books, did you know that the Chinese had movable type for printing 500 years before Gutenberg printed his first Bible? Well, I hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Ken, for the information about the first library in Albuquerque.
The one thing I would disagree on, though, is, you know, the solving of the bar bet by calling the Hawaii Library.
Pick
Google.
Up your phone. That's what I thought. Pick up your phone, man. Who in the bar doesn't have access to the internet on their phone?
It's cute calling a librarian, I got to admit. It's kind of a cute story, but probably doesn't really justify her salary or his salary.
Right.
So, anyway, thanks for the call. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I've heard a new word in the vernacular.
What?
come up. I heard it on Jon Stewart, and I did some research and found that it's kind of been around, but it's just been this year. If you can
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Staycation?
How'd you guess? Did you see my paper?
No, absolutely not. But
you watched Jon Stewart?
No, it's been all over all the newscasts because people can't afford to take out vacations, so they're staying home.
So they have the big staycation. Yeah. So I looked up in the Urban Dictionary.
Right.
The official, there's two official.
You mean you didn't call the librarian?
The librarian was closed because of the cutback in hours. So I had to take my lazy, naked butt to the Google. Did y'all need to know that? when you're not working, you're naked all the time. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
He doesn't even wash his clothes anymore. He's on a different schedule.
I don't even wash myself. What are you talking about?
That's what that smell is. I wondered.
That was my ooh-a-day Jeff. Gay people out there, I'm just kidding. That's gross even to me. Anyways, the... let's see, here is the definition. A vacation that is spent at one's home. Which I think if you looked up the definition of vacation, it would have nothing to do with one's home.
That's right. It would have away from one's home.
I would think so, yes. So,
and local scenery.
This is a little bit different. Uh-huh. Spent at one's home, enjoying all that home and one's home environs have to offer.
Are you on a staycation right now, Jeff?
I guess I am. I didn't know I was so trendy. So here's an example of how you might use it. Even though I live and work in New York, I don't always get to enjoy it all it has to offer with my work commitments. But I sure did have an awesome time here during my spring staycation. So the other definition is a little bit better, I think. A vacation spent close to home. The price of gas soaring, a staycation is what most Americans will experience during the summer of 2008. So I think the idea of a staycation is to, in fact, a friend of mine forwarded me an email in Dallas, Fort Worth, for example, of 50 free things to do. And one of the things is, you know, just about every night here in Dallas this summer, there are free movies. Mm-hmm. There are movies down in Victory Park. There's movies down in Park Central. There's movies up in Frisco. Right. There's movies up in Plano. There's movies up in the Angelica for free. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of free stuff you can do.
Right.
And this list had 50 of the top free things to do. So I think that's really what the focus on the staycation kind of is.
And also the Dallas Morning News had published a tank full of gas destinations within the Dallas area.
Yeah.
So how far can you get on a tank full of gas, which would be essentially a day trip?
Yeah.
And, so, and they published a lot. There were maybe 100 of places you could go. No, I'm not sure everybody
Afford a tank of gas?
Yeah. Well, have you heard the prediction when you mentioned oil being, what is it, 139
139
now?
Right now.
I have heard economists say... and this is actually through some pretty well-respected economists, that it's going to go to $12 to $15 a gallon because the demand is worldwide. There's a lot of speculation now on oil. Speculators are actually using it like gold and actually bidding on it.
Yeah.
There is really just no more production right now because China and India aren't giving up their middle class getting car crazy. And we're competing with them for the same oil. And so that's one of the reasons now SUVs, you can barely get $3,000 for a used SUV.
Oh, really? You were already seeing the effect of that?
Way below Blue Book. I heard a guy interviewed who had an $8,000 loan on a full-size SUV. He could not get rid of it.
Really?
He would get no more than $3,000. There's a huge glut of used SUVs. And actually, used small cars that are really energy efficient are getting higher than Blue Book value. So people are trying to get rid of them. And several car makers have closed all their plants that are making SUVs in the United States, with the exception of, I think the one in Arlington is going to be the only one left making GM trucks or GM SUVs.
Right. Just imagine at $12 a gallon, what changes?
What changes will be in our lifestyle? I think we'll actually get serious about solar energy, and we'll get serious about electric.
We'll get serious about alternative energy,
we'll get serious about public transportation.
Right.
Well, which has also seen a lot of increase in ridership.
I mean, here's the problem with public transportation is that We have communities all over this great land of ours. Should I play the Star Spangled Banner in the background? America, the beautiful.
It's sounding patriotic.
I know. But all of our communities are based on the automobile. I mean, everything before the 40s or the 30s, really, when they became more widespread. So as a result, we're spread out, which makes public transportation more difficult. But it doesn't mean it can't be done, and it doesn't mean also the urban development ideas can't change. In fact, they're already starting to change. Even in the suburbs, a lot more urban areas are sort of being founded instead of on the big...
Mm-hmm. Founded on their own with their own city.
Founded on their own with their own city, with their own town square, right. With walk and work and live ideas, even though not everybody's doing that.
Right.
The ideas are there that the big subdivisions with, you know, access to the big road are not that people-friendly.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, look at Europe. How many times have you gone to Europe and you see the size of the cars in Europe? Because the gas in Europe is always
been
expensive.
They're tiny little things.
They're tiny little things because that's just what they do. They know gas has always been an expensive part
of their... Plus, the streets are based on rail car and horses.
That's true.
a lot of cases.
So I think we will just get more energy efficient cars, and it's about time. It's going to happen, and if this is what it takes for it to happen, then yeah, it's going to be painful, but you know, we typically don't do it until we're kicked in the butt to do it. So.
And, you know, cars are a big status symbol here, but that's because gas was cheap.
That's right.
And cars will still be, they'll always be a big status symbol here. You'll always show your wealth by having a big car. But I think what might be changing is that during the day-to-day commute stuff, if you can't do public transportation, you might have a little itty-bitty, non-impressive car. And that might just be fine. Then you got your weekend trips where you can impress your friends or if that's what you want to do or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yep. So that's a little scary. $12 a gallon. It sucks for the short term. It'll suck for all of us because we don't have these things available. We don't have these alternatives available right now.
Right now.
In the long term, it could be a decent thing.
And right now, they're having trouble getting the electric. The cells for electric cars. That's one of the reasons we're having, there's a big shortage of them.
Yeah.
But that would be if oil goes to $200 a barrel, which it certainly seems like it's moving there quickly.
Yeah.
That's what they're predicting oil would move to.
Now, I did see a graph. I was kind of curious about, wonder what the historical price of these things are because, you know, it doubled this last year.
Right.
Has it just always been this? But in the 70s, it did get up to a little bit over 100 a barrel. So I was a little bit surprised. So we're not completely out in wackiness. We are in wackiness, but we're not completely out of left field.
But gas didn't go that high in the 70s.
No, it didn't. There's other economic factors.
Right, because there still wasn't the demand.
Right.
We were still the primary user.
Right.
Yeah. But and then there's, you know, another option that I just heard about too is propane.
Mm-hmm.
Propane-propelled cars, which, you know, there are buses that are propelled by propane, but actually Argentina has it mandated. Argentina, all the cars are propane. Driven.
So you can like barbecue and cook and drive at the same time?
That's right.
That's awesome.
So it can be done. I mean, you just have to put your mind to it and then you change your fuel source.
Yeah.
And because propane is relatively clean and very cheap.
Well, here's another
idea. $2 a gallon.
Here's another idea. And it's not such a good one. There was a couple up in Dartmouth, Massachusetts that decided they wanted to beat the high cost of gasoline. So they hoarded 45 gallons of gasoline in their apartment in 9 plastic jugs, and they stacked them in a closet. Well, sadly, the place kind of blew up, and no one was seriously hurt, but residents of 8 units of the complex were displaced. So that's probably not a smart way to...
Yeah, don't go out and save it now when it's at $4, thinking, okay, when it goes to 10, I'm going to be all set.
People are going to be jealous of me with all my gas lying around.
Especially your smoking friends when they come over.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yeah, not a smart idea, really. Stand next to your fire.
Well, hey, I have gloomy news, too. Let's continue on the gloomy news.
Yay, more gloomy news.
Okay, not only is unemployment up, and the cost of living has gone up. It is now at 4.2%. So that means that for everybody who gets a cost of living raise, did you get 4.2% last year?
Right.
Because that's what you need just to stay even. And it's actually, this is probably not a completely accurate figure, but it's almost all based on the price of the high energy costs. It's just gone up. So we're starting to see a lot of inflation, but
And food prices, too.
Fuel has risen 64% over 12 months. Gasoline has risen 20% on a year-over-year basis. Natural gas has been up 16%. Electricity is up 8%. And food has gone up 5%. So cost of clothing has gone down, though. So go buy clothes, everybody.
I'm not eating. I'm eating clothes.
Oh, you're eating clothes. There you go.
You know, it's good when you want to get used to it. It takes a while.
Right. But, they're tasty. You're like a goat.
Well, you learn what brands taste better. You know. And it's not always the designers. So little tip from Jeff.
All right.
I wanted to talk about what else?
Oh, I still have more gloom.
Well, I got okay. Here, can I have a little gloomy tidbit?
Oh, sure.
Can we talk about herpes? Herpes in New York State. One out of four people in New York State, 25% have herpes.
Holy cow.
Among the black population, that's 50%. 50% of all black people in New York State have herpes.
Wow.
So, you know.
Wonder if the mayor, if the governor is one of them.
Oh, he's black and he's from New York. Well, there's a 50-50 chance. Now, it doesn't say how many.
He had an affair, too. Remember?
Doesn't sound. Yes, that's true. It doesn't sound. Doesn't say how many black blind percentage, what that percentage is. We don't know. But so nationally, though, the amount.
One in four?
Yeah.
It's still really high.
Nationally, instead of, I'll do the math, one out of four is 25% for those listeners that are mathematically challenged. Nationally, it's 19%, so still pretty high.
Oh, yeah.
Now, among whites, it's about 15%, which is, what, one out of seven or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gretchen, out of the, 500 people you slept with, probably, 80 of them have had herpes.
Just a crapshoot.
In other words, Gretchen's loose, okay? Sorry. I didn't want to make...
Well, if you think my number's high, I can't even tell you about his. You need a calculator to do that math.
Hey, that's not nice. You... I don't know. What are you up to now, 800?
I guess the gist of that story would be invest in Valtrex. Isn't that the herpes drug?
Oh, is that right?
Is that what it is?
I thought there was no way. I mean, once you had herpes, you always had it.
Yeah,
there's really
do.
No cure to it.
It's the
it comes and goes, right?
Yeah, it does, I think.
They really invest in condoms and wear condoms if you're out there playing around.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, let's speak of those people who are out there playing around. Guess what? Texas is tied for the highest teen birth rate with New Mexico.
Boy, they're playing around and playing around early.
They are. And a federal study shows that more teens are engaged in risky sex, too. Texas teens, who in 2004 led the nation in having babies, were tied with New Mexico teens for the highest birth rate in 2005.
Wow.
Yeah. So Texas has gone from 50th to a tie for 49th.
Jeez.
Isn't that awful? It's just horrible. And Texas ranks as the percent of teens who are not attending school and not working. They rank 36th out of 50, where we rank, I guess. And the percent of children living in poverty, Texas ranks 44th out of 50.
Wow.
Isn't that a shame? It's just very sad.
Again, I always wonder why. And in fact, when we go back to New York, I was... trying to Google, find out as much as I could.
Right.
Nobody said, why New York?
New York, yeah.
Is it highly immigrants? Does that have something to do with it?
Are they more promiscuous in New York?
Are they more promiscuous because culturally for some reason?
Yeah, or nobody talks about it. Nobody knows, maybe. Maybe they haven't tested and don't know.
Right.
Hmm.
Don't know.
Hmm.
Well, that's very interesting. So I wonder what's that about Texas?
I don't know.
It's not me. I swear to God, it's not me. I'm not impregnating all those 15-year-olds. All right, there's been a few, yes.
I think that's illegal.
Hey, do you listen to This American Life?
No, I don't.
Okay. I recommend this one episode to everybody that's listening. If you want to know more about the mortgage crisis and what exactly happened, this is extremely compelling. It's a one-hour show. It's their typical, typical show. It is, let's see, I wrote this down here. Show number 355, dated 5908. And in typical This American Life fashion, it's also very entertaining. I'll read the description of it. This American Life producer Alex Bloomberg teams up with NPR's Adam Davidson for the entire hour to tell the story of the surprisingly entertaining story of how the U.S. got itself into the housing crisis. But really mortgage crisis more than that. They talked to people who were actually working in the housing, banking, finance, and mortgage industries about what they thought during the boom times and why the bust happened. And this is the key sentence. And they explain that a lot of it has to do with the giant global pool of money. And let me explain that a little bit, because this is something we never, ever think about. All right. This is kind of a big deal in this particular show. Because the world is changing, and this is not our, you know, our father's or our grandfather's world by a long shot,
right,
in a lot of ways.
Right.
But the world is changing so much. Just in the last 5 years, there has been this huge increase in international capital on the markets, in the financial markets. And what does international capital want to do? What does all capital want to do? It wants to find investments.
Right. And make money.
Wants to make money off those. Mm-hmm. So you got people investing. And the show goes into some of the reasons and dynamics why this happened, why all of a sudden the last 5 years it's just been like night and day. And I don't remember exactly. I think it has to do with prosperity globally.
Globally, right. I mean, look at the Chinese economy. Their growth is 12%. They can't even control it. It's so red hot.
And right.
They've got a lot of new wealth that's probably trying to invest it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we're looking for investments. So obviously, where people are flashing money looking for investments, there's people coming to get it. And this all started very innocently with really mortgage-backed securities, because mortgage-backed securities are a safe investment. Mm-hmm. They always have been.
Mm-hmm.
And as what happened is the demand for those just increased until all of a sudden there was no good mortgage-based securities on the market anymore. They had to deep in a little bit and say, okay, well, we'll take a little more risk. Okay, so we have a 10% default on these. We're still making money.
Right.
And the other thing that exasperated that, I'm really summing up the show, but give more details by listening.
Mm-hmm.
What exasperated that is that you don't have Bank A that you get the loan from. They're not necessarily taking that risk on themselves. They're just immediately selling it.
They're selling it
to a broker.
Right.
And that broker may be selling it into a composite investment for somebody else to buy.
Right.
So it gets all very convoluted in terms of what the risk is. Now, there are very smart people looking at all this and have been looking and assessing the risks, but that demand for capital, that demand for investments just made this pool get riskier and riskier and riskier until, guess what happened? All of a sudden, people started defaulting on these things and there was no recourse.
Right.
So, anyway, it's very fascinating. I highly recommend it.
Oh, that does sound good. And that's on NPR, right?
It's on NPR. You can go to, Google This American Life. They're not actually on npr.org. I can't remember their URL.
Okay.
But yeah, you can get it online. You can get it in a podcast. You can go to iTunes, for that matter, and download the podcast.
Ah.
It's like 3 episodes ago.
Well, speaking of that, in May, there were 73,000 homes lost to foreclosure.
Mm.
And the biggest states that continue to have the biggest problems, Nevada, California, and Florida, continue to bear the brunt of the crisis.
Yeah.
this is a staggering 158% increase from the same time in 2007.
Wow.
So that means last month, 73,000 families lost their homes to bank repossessions. It was the 29th straight month we've seen a year-over-year increase. So Nevada, California, the worst city having the worst hit problem was Stockton, California. Las Vegas also cracked the top 10. Default rates are going to continue to go up for a couple more months because they're not all the way done yet with the whole process. People are just walking away from homes they bought at the top of the market since they've lost a lot of that value. And so they look at their present value of their home, they look at their debt, and they say, what's the point of paying the mortgage?
Right.
And that's why they're walking away. So
they were in this radio article, they were giving loans to people that made $40,000 and had no down payments. They were giving them loans for $500,000 houses.
That's insane.
So it's insane.
That's absolutely
it's insane by any account that you look at it, but that's how crazy this demand became.
Jeez.
The person that got the loan should have should have not wanted that house.
Right.
Shame on him.
I thought
the person lending it to him.
Formula that said that you can't own a house.
They started blowing through those formulas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's amazing how idiocy happens. You know?
Unbelievable.
I got some little local news.
Oh, okay. Local news is fun. I have local news too.
Okay. This happened in Coppell, which is a suburb. I don't know exactly where it is because I don't go to the suburbs. They scare me.
You go to that lake, though, where the rednecks are.
I go to Redneck Lake.
To get that tan.
Yes. You're jealous. So there's two counselors at a Coppell-run day camp. that forced these children to crawl on hot asphalt, and when they were there as a punishment. So several children told police that their hands were burned when the counselors forced them to crab walk or crawl on a hot track to punish them for being loud during a movie. They said they were discolored, burned, and blistered. The youngsters ranged in age from 12 to 24. And the counselors were like post-college grads. I mean, post-college, like in their early 20s.
Hmm.
I mean, I just thought that was interesting. I don't know. It's kind of, you know, in this day and age, it's a little surprising that they would have the kids do that. But maybe they didn't realize they'd get burned.
That's true. Or, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, going along with the herpes story.
Woohoo!
In case you're ever need it, and the teen pregnancy rate. CVS is the first drugstore here in Texas offering over-the-counter paternity tests. $29.99 will tell you if you're the father of that child or not.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
All you have to do is take a swab from the inside of your cheek of the mother, the father, and I'm sorry, the mother, the child, and the alleged father. Then you send it into a lab, and for $119 lab fee, it will tell you if you are positive or negative.
That's like a guy's worst nightmare. I mean, really, is to, and even if he likes the woman, it's like, gee, I'm not sure who, if you're the father or not. Oh, great, thanks. And then you turn out to be the father, and you got to like do something with this
information.
Horrible person.
But now you can go down to the drugstore. At least it makes it a little. You can kind of do it in private, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's interesting. Uh-huh. Well, shall we play a voicemail from Ferg?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
This is Ferg from airferg.com talking a little bit about our Barbie discussion last show.
Hey, I wanted to chime in on this whole Barbie thing because I was just talking about it. I'm not saying that the image of Barbie is healthy for women. You know, I'm not saying that's good, that that's a good thing to aspire to. But let's be honest. It is achievable. It is achievable in this day of modern technology. If you grow up and you're not happy because you're not Barbie-like, you go to the doctor, you say, give me some lipo. Give me some breast implants. Go to your hairdresser and ask for a blonde weave. Maybe go back to the doctor and ask for a nose job, depending on where you are in that department. And you're there. And then stop eating so you can get that 22-inch waist. And I'm not suggesting that's a good idea, and it may be incredibly unhealthy, but if you do those things, you will achieve it. We've all seen people out on the street that look as good or better than Barbie does. Now, you still, despite all this, you hear women complaining all the time about how horrible it is to have to live up to this ideal of Barbie. Well, when I was growing up, you know the ideal that I had to live up to? You know what I saw all the time? You know who my ideal was? You know who I idolized? You know who I watched on TV? Superman. Now, I don't know of a doctor anywhere that's going to allow me to fly. I don't care if I stop eating forever. I might get really, really light that I might be able to glide a little bit in a breeze, but that's not flying. I'm doomed to fail. Men are doomed to fail from the day they are born. So while this image that they have, that they think that they cannot attain, even though it is possible for them to attain, it's just very difficult and perhaps very expensive, of Barbie drives them to unhealthy eating habits, it is a miracle that what men have to live up to, which is completely unachievable, doesn't drive them to, you know, hang themselves from, you know, the ceiling. And listen, by the way, if you're really upset about the whole Barbie thing, about the fact that you had to grow up with Barbie and all that kind of stuff like that, don't blame society. Blame your parents. I mean, let's be honest. They're the ones that bought you the Barbie in the first place. Great show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Ferg, I just wanted to say that my mom wouldn't allow me to have a Barbie doll. So I'm not blaming her for anything. I'm just saying that she just didn't think that ideal was attainable. But you're absolutely right. We can all go out and look like Barbie. So
yeah,
you'll have to come up with a new ideal.
And I disagree.
By the way, have you gone out to look like Ken?
No, but I disagree. I mean, I am, you know, you talk about the Superman thing and some women call me Superman in some areas, okay? I'm just saying, Ferg, you know.
The ones that you need the paternity test for? Those?
Those 14-year-olds think I'm Superman. Or maybe that was Super Daddy. God, that's sick. My mom's going to kill me. Sorry, Mom. I'm a clean white boy. Gosh, clean boy from the Midwest.
But a follow-up to your story about Barbie, which I believe started with the Bratz.
Yes.
And the Bratz lawsuit. Mattel sued their former employee, Carter Bryant, who was the inventor of Bratz, and they actually settled their case against him. The case has been dragging on forever. It charges that Carter and MGA Entertainment, whom he went to, with copyright infringement related to the Bratz doll designs. So they settled their claim with Carter. They filed a lawsuit in 2004. They claimed that he, as their doll designer, sold his ideas to Bratz for Bratz to MGA in 2000 while he was still under contract with Mattel. The judge has declared that anything Mr. Bryant created while he worked for Mattel is owned by Mattel and I'm in product development.
Which is kind of what we thought last time.
When you are an employee of a corporation, even in product development, everything you develop is theirs because that's what they...
So, yeah, no, I think that's what we had speculated. Right. What happens next?
So they've settled with him and details were not announced. One of the motions did say that both Mattel and Carter had to pay their own attorney fees. However, they are continuing on with their lawsuit against MGA. So they are continuing with the corporate lawsuit. So we'll see what happens there to see if MGA really has any rights to the copyright infringement.
Yeah.
So.
Well, very good.
Just a little update.
Very good update. We need a weekly Barbie update. Hey, by the way, I should have mentioned this when we were talking about staycations, but you've had your own staycation recently.
I did.
You did, right?
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, you're right. My staycation is now in front of my house in the form of my new fence.
She's fencing herself in for her staycation.
That's right.
And basically spent your staycation money.
My $6,000 staycation budget.
I can't wait to see it. So did you get a white picket?
I got a vinyl white picket. But I think it looks nice. It's kind of shiny. And
Yeah,
it's good. It's very nice. It looks much better than what was there before, which was gray and weathered and wood and rotten and falling over. So
really, that didn't look so good?
No. I wasn't looking so good.
So now you got a great place for your staycation.
That's right. So I am going to enjoy sitting by my new fence and thinking, look at the staycation this year that I got to enjoy.
Just look at this beautiful,
beautiful
I will take pictures
fence.
Of this.
My fence.
Of the fence and send it to my friends. Here, view my staycation pictures.
That's right. So I was telling Jeff that he won't be seeing any vacation pictures this year. He's going to be seeing a picture of my fence. So that's it.
Woohoo! Wow, it's getting hot in here. Man, I'm sweating.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that for the first time ever that
I did not know
our
that.
Life expectancy is now, if you're a U.S. citizen, your life expectancy is expected to be over 78 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're number 30 on the list, which is really appalling. But Japan has the longest life, 83 years right now for kids born in 2006.
I'm going to go to Japan.
There you go. And one more little tidbit, going back to those kids that you need the paternity suit for. Kids born in Texas, the top baby names for kids born in Texas are Emily and Jose, replacing Ashley and Michael. And nationwide, Emily and Jacob are the top names. The top Texas names are Jose, Jacob, Daniel, Christopher, and Angel.
Angel, really? Angel. That's odd.
And the top girl names are Emily, Mia, Isabella, Madison, and Abigail.
I like those names except for Madison. I'm not crazy about Madison. It sounds weird.
Well, go with Angel.
I'm surprised. Or Angel. I don't like Angel either. I'm surprised Tex isn't in there.
Tex? Tex in Texas. Elvis is, however, still in the running. He's Elvis is number 676 in baby names, up from 761.
Wow, that'd be so.
Can you imagine?
That'd be a lot of pressure to be named Elvis.
That's right.
Well, hey, did you see? I bet you haven't seen this. This is going to be news to you.
God.
It looks like Obama's going to be the nominee.
It does.
Nominee.
It does.
Did you hear that?
You know,
or is that, or is this news?
That is news. Thanks for filling me in. I have been, you know, out of the loop. I only watch an hour of news a day and read a newspaper. But
really? And what do you, is it the funnies that you read?
Yeah.
And the sports, probably.
Yeah, sports and comics.
That's the only thing I used to read when I was a kid, actually. Yeah, so Obama's up there.
Yeah.
And this is what's interesting. The Pew Research, those folks at Pew.
Yes, I think I know what you're going on this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They did research among more than 24,000 people in 24 countries to find out who they like better, Obama or John McCain. And, basically Obama, kicked butt.
Totally.
It cites a lot of individual comments here, but basically it kind of says they really think that Obama presidency would actually change the global perception and change this country, let's see. McCain has lower ratings than Obama in every country surveyed except the U.S. So that may be true, but it may never happen. Where the two nominees are still neck and neck. So sad. How can they be neck and neck?
No, I actually heard the last poll. Mm-hmm. He was actually, Obama was 47% and McCain was 41%.
Okay.
Last poll taken a couple of days ago. Yeah.
It's just no excuse for it. Obama's advantage over McCain is enormously, particularly in France, Germany, and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of westernized countries,
right,
where the Illinois senator leads McCain by up to 51% points. Overall, there's little confidence in the United States in general in some of the Middle Eastern countries like Pakistan and Jordan.
Right.
McCain has a confidence rating of 6% in Pakistan. Well, but listen to this. Obama gets 10%.
Right.
So, I mean, they're just the
they're not. Jordan, Pakistan, Egypt, and Lebanon are really not too into this survey.
No, they're not too into this survey. So that's interesting. It'll be, and I've heard that before, and I think even I've heard some strategists for the Republicans say, yeah, look at that. Sure, these foreign leaders want Obama to be. What does that tell you?
Yeah, right?
Right,
right, right, right.
So we'll see what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was good too. That he's more likely to do the right thing for change for the better.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and one follow-up to your story about dropout rates, and remember how they were so skewed?
Right.
Why we couldn't figure out why they were so off?
Right.
There is sort of an interesting article about why it's hard to count high school dropouts, because some kids leave school without saying where they're going. Others come here without the intention of ever coming to school. Like they come here to work. Like Hispanic immigrants, they come here to work, and they were never going to even drop into school.
Right.
So it's really hard to... because kids leave and they'll just stop coming to class one day, but nobody knows, did they go to the military? Did they go to another school? Did they go to a job? Did they leave the country altogether? And those were never counted as dropouts. And so that helps explain the discrepancy where the state of Texas reported in 2004 an 85% graduation rate, but Education Week came up with 67%. So we couldn't figure out why was it almost 20% off.
Right.
I mean, that's such a discrepancy.
No kidding. Interesting.
And then among Hispanics, the state reported 78% graduation rate, and Education Week reported only 58%.
Hmm.
They were clearly off by 20%. Texas was counting GED recipients as graduates, along with students who completed the required coursework but failed the tax exams. And then 3 years ago, all the nation's governors agreed to count the graduation rates the same way, but Texas hasn't really quite implemented the counting yet. So they're still counting their same way, and I thought this was really, there's all kinds of loopholes, but one of the loopholes is kids who are permanently expelled from school don't count as dropouts.
Oh, really?
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, please. Jeez. Nor do students who leave the country.
Ultimately, we want to know how many kids are not getting their high school
graduate. Yeah, because they say that
degree.
Researchers care about this because high school dropouts earn less money, they bring fewer skills to the workforce, and they're less likely to contribute to society. And the federal No Child Left Behind law requires states to report graduation rates.
Hmm.
And that also has to do with, I think, how much money schools get. You know, so I think it's very... it's just a hard quagmire, and I can understand that if you really, if a kid's there one day and not there the next, what do you say?
Right.
You don't really know, you know? So, but you'd think they would have an exit exam like we do at a job.
Right, of course. That would make sense.
You'd think they would say, come on, kid, tell us where you're going.
I know.
Yeah.
Nah, 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 nah. It's your dropout. It's your dropout. Graduation day for you. It's your dropout. It's your dropout. It's your midterms from shampoo. Well, at least you could have taken time to wash and clean your clothes up. And spending all that soda have the doctor fix your nose up. Baby, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving? You got the dream, but not the drive. Baby, go for your diploma. You can join us in a pool. Turn to the cheese and come and go back to high school.
So, little health news here. Just, I've got a list here of 27 states that if you like tomatoes, you should check. I'm not going to list the 27 states because that would be boring for listeners. But if you don't know about this, you know, check and see if your state is cleared for tomatoes. Texas is.
Yes.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. But they're still not serving them. I can't get a tomato to save my life.
I know.
It's awful.
I did not realize even there was a tomato crisis. And I was at Cafe Express with my friend Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, please don't put tomatoes on my burger.
And they laughed.
They kind of laughed. It's like, no, we can't do tomatoes.
We can't do tomatoes, yeah. I had a Greek salad with no tomatoes. Let me tell you, it's dry. Those olives have to do lots of extra work now.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard there's 228 outbreaks right now.
Hey, you just stole my thunder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Darn, I thought I was the only one that had that info. Yeah, 228. They found 61 cases in six new states just recently. Florida, Georgia, Missouri, New York, Tennessee, and Vermont. And they've had 23 states completely. Let's see. Contracting salmonella, which is the big problem, can cause serious and sometimes fatal injuries, especially in the children, the elderly, and those with weak immune systems. The FDA says that eating raw red plum, raw red Roma, or raw red round. Boy.
Say that.
Is this like an alliteration intentionally? Raw red round tomatoes is safe if you can say it.
That's right.
If they come from one of 27 states or one of 19 counties in Florida. So, well, it gets complicated. Or from Belgium, Canada, the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Israel, the Netherlands, or Puerto Rico. But as we speak constantly on this show, try to eat local when you can.
Right. What about Mexico? I just read that there's tons of tomatoes piling up in Mexico because they can't export them.
Yeah, it doesn't mention Mexico as a doable country.
I don't think you can yet.
So what I haven't seen, though, is, okay, first of all, cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes, and tomatoes with the vine still attached have not been associated with the illness. But I haven't seen any cause. Do we know why?
No, they don't know why yet. They haven't been able to isolate where it's coming from, right?
Okay, right.
Remember lowly spinach last year?
Mm-hmm.
And the same problem. It's like we've got, you know, some of our staples in the vegetable world.
There's staples in our vegetables?
They are staples in our vegetables.
Man, that would suck.
Having this problem. Now, they did finally trace it back in California to the cow manure and the runoff in the water at a couple places in Salinas Valley. But
it was very isolated. This tomato thing doesn't seem isolated.
No,
if it's
it
in
doesn't.
Mexico and it's in Vermont,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
So it's really strange. I'd be very
And I didn't realize how it really affects what we eat. I mean, you can have them cooked, right? Because I did get them on a pizza at Fireside Pies on Monday night.
Really?
Yeah,
how
so
are you feeling? I thought you looked pale.
Do I look? Well, come to think of it, excuse me, gotta get to the bathroom.
Excuse me, where's your toilet? Now that I think about it. No, I don't know. Is that right? You can have them cooked?
Yeah, I think you can have them cooked. I think that will kill any hint of salmonella. That's why they're saying raw red. Those are the ones you have to be.
Well, and I would imagine because you can still order pizza.
Yes.
So, yeah, that'd be kind of weird, right?
Right.
Well, I got one last thing here.
Okay.
Did you see the series? There's a series on CBS. It's new called Swingtown.
No.
I haven't seen it. A friend of mine told me about it. But apparently it's it's on CBS, you know, a normal broadcast channel in prime time, 9 o'clock Central Time. I don't know what night. About the swing lifestyle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be swing dancers.
I know. Yeah, Granny, you know, tunes in to watch swing dancing.
Please go swing, and instead you get the swinger couples. Oh, God.
So that's a real sign. To me, that's another sign of the times.
It is a sign of the times. Just like the HBO series, what, Big Love?
Right, but that's HBO still. They've always been more provocative.
Right.
This is CBS at 9 o'clock at night.
You're right. Swinging, huh?
It's pretty weird.
That is. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious.
On the swinging lifestyle.
I just heard about it today, so I'll talk to you. TiVo it and see what I think.
Hey, what'd you think of Recount while we're just talking about TV shows?
Well, okay, I liked it. I can't say it was greatness, but what do I think about it?
I thought there was some interesting facts.
There was a lot of interest. There's a lot of interesting facts behind the scenes about it. Yeah.
And if all we had gone through, we had just gotten a little more positive outcome, like somebody we were actually happy with. You know what?
Right.
So many years later, we're not that happy. I mean, what, a 29% approval rating? It's,
I think the most amazing thing was this. I can't remember the actor's name, and I can't remember who he played, but one of the Bush people was just so fervent, and I guess he was a religious guy, so fervent about cleansing the stain of the Clinton administration.
Oh.
That was the whole thing for him. It wasn't about economics. It wasn't about, you know, foreign policy. It was about cleansing the cum stain. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that metaphorically, but you know what I mean? And look how that turned out.
Yep.
It's just appalling.
It was really a circus. And I think the Democrats started out trying to be very civil about it, right? They wanted to negotiate.
Yeah, Warren Christopher who was a very civil.
Shot out of the water in 30 seconds.
Right.
Like, oh my God, there's nothing civil about this.
Right.
This is going to be a media nightmare worldwide. We're going to look like idiots, which we did.
Right.
And I'm just not sure it's fixed for this election. I mean, look at what happened even locally. We couldn't even have people vote.
The caucuses were a real problem here.
The caucuses
here.
Were a problem, yeah, but even some machine malfunctions in certain states. I mean, it's going to still be a nightmare this year.
I think, what did I read that? It's just been a historically unprecedented that we've had, like, what is it, two or three elections in a row that have been so close.
Yeah, you're right.
They wouldn't be so questionable if they weren't so darn close.
So close.
I mean, these are statistically even. You can take, you know, you could take these errors and whatever. I'm sure there's plus and minus X point something percent in the machine reliability. I'm sure of it.
Right.
So these are statistically even.
Right.
So you're getting down to counting chads. It's a joke anyways. They're really even. They really are.
That's right.
But it's just historically unprecedented. And I think they were talking about this on Meet the Press, kind of doing predictions of the McCain Obama thing. And some said, it just can't happen three elections in a row. It just can't happen.
Yeah. It makes for a great news story, but...
Yeah. So, obviously, the media likes it because it's exciting, but...
It divides the nation. Oh, so polarizing.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, there we go. Off to do our thing.
Off to go to lunch. We're gonna have lunch today. And we'll bring the little portable mic so we can continue podcasting. So come with us.
Yeah, come with us to lunch.
While we have tomatoes and just see what they do to us.
That's right. We will experience salmonella for you and report live.
Yes, it'll sound great. You can hear me puking in the toilet. Or other things in the toilet. Ooh, that's nice. That's a nice way to end the show.
God.
We're not taking you to lunch. I decided that. All right, so kids, we'll see you soon. And if you come across any great project management opportunities, hey,
Job's looking.
You know, in a month or so, I'll be ripe for the picking, especially in the Dallas area. I think what I'm going to do, Gretchen, is you know, for the first 3 to 4 months of the search, is really focus on Dallas. I don't want to move. I like the city. I like my house. I like my friends. I like my podcast. Blah blah blah. So
locally grown jobs,
please. All right, thanks.
All righty, bye.
See ya. Bye.